Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, September 10, 2023, Romans.
All right, before we get started, there's a couple announcements. If you are interested in becoming a teacher or a substitute for our BibEd program, please see Debbie at your earliest convenience. If you are interested in becoming a teacher or a substitute for our BibEd program, please see Debbie at your earliest convenience. Now, I announced that Thursday, all the kids came in and said, thank you, you know. So. The other announcement is, and just for those of you who can't read, out on the glass doors, next week, classes will be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Not Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Because Thursday they're coming in and redoing the floors, and it needs a couple of days to air out after that. So that's the two announcements. Now open your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. The greatest chapter in the Word of God about something totally unique to the dispensation we live in, the church age. That is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It has nothing to do with water. This is the baptism of the Holy Spirit and has nothing to do with speaking in tongues. It is the result of faith in Jesus Christ in the church age, identification with Christ in his death and burial and resurrection. Totally unique, and it results in fantastic blessings for each one of you. Every member of the royal family in the church age. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your Word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven, that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name, amen. All right, well, it's a great time of the year. Why? We have football. Not foosball. Football. And, well, here I thought UNLV was going to be in the national championship game. Well, they beat Bryant. And they found out this week that Michigan is different than Bryant. But they beat Bryant. That was great, because a few years ago we played Howard. Now, if you can't beat somebody that has a name like Howard, you're in trouble. That we were 45-point favorites, and we lost to Howard. I'm glad we don't have a team named Gary or Jim or Al, or we'd have got killed. Well, we beat Bryant, but we didn't do too well against Michigan. So there's a little bit of difference, see. But how about them Washington State Cougars? Hoo-ah! They are 2-0 in the Pac-2. There's only two teams left in the Pac-12. It's the Pac-2, Washington State and Oregon State. And they're tied, wouldn't you know it? But they did beat 19th-rated Wisconsin. They beat them last year back at Wisconsin. They beat them this year in the friendly confines of Pullman, Washington. And that was a great game. So football is back. That's great. Did Air Force win?
Barely.
No. And I knew it was close, but okay. Well, Air Force won. Army killed the Hornets of Delaware State. That's almost like playing Bryant. But Army won, Navy won, Air Force won, the military all won. That's great. All right, Romans chapter 6, the great chapter on the doctrine of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you know, it's sad to say, in the apostasy and degeneracy of Client Nation USA, and I'm talking now about Christians in America, they don't have a clue about this fantastic doctrine of the baptism of the Spirit. And that's too bad. Most of them don't have a clue about the doctrine of dispensations. They don't understand the dispensation we're living in, the church age, that it began at Pentecost, concludes with the rapture. They don't understand that we're living in a time when the Apostle Paul wrote Musterion, church age truth, special for this dispensation, because it never happened before in any other time in human history. There was no baptism of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. Moses knew nothing about it. David knew nothing about it. Jeremiah knew nothing about it. There was no baptism of the Spirit. This is unique to the church age. But from Pentecost to the rapture, when any individual comes to the cross and places their faith in Jesus Christ, at that instant of faith in Christ, God the Holy Spirit takes that person and he's identified with Christ in his death and burial, retroactive positional truth, and he's identified with Christ in his resurrection, current positional truth. He is placed into union with Jesus Christ. And now, he is a new spiritual species, royal family of God. And with that is great, great privileges and great, great responsibility. And that is taught by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 6. Romans 6, let's look at the corrected translation, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, what are we to say, or what are we to conclude? Are we to continue in the sphere of the sin nature, for the purpose that the grace of God might increase? Meganoita, emphatically not. We who have died to the sin nature, the baptism of the Spirit and retroactive positional truth, how can we live by the power of the sin nature any longer? Verse 3, or are you ignorant? We should say, and yes, you are. Or are you ignorant? Don't you know that all of us have been baptized into Christ Jesus, baptism of the Spirit, have been baptized into his death, retroactive positional truth? Therefore, we have been buried together with him, Jesus Christ, by means of baptism into death, retroactive positional truth, for the purpose that just as Christ was raised out from the dead, the resurrection of Christ, by means of the glory, the omnipotence of the Father, God the Father, so also we, royal family of God, might live in newness of life. Verse 5. For if we have become intimately united with him in the likeness of his death, first class condition, and we have through the baptism of the Spirit and retroactive positional truth, certainly we shall also be intimately united with him in the likeness of his resurrection through the baptism of the Spirit and current positional truth. And then, in verses 6 through 8, we have the implications of retroactive and current positional truth. In Romans 6, 6 and 7, we have the implications of retroactive positional truth. In Romans 6, 8, the implications of current positional truth. So verse 6, and keep on knowing this, that our old man, the sin nature, has been crucified together with him, Jesus Christ, retroactive positional truth. And now we have two purposes. For the purpose that, purpose number one of retroactive positional truth, that the body of sin, the sin nature, might be rendered powerless. And then, purpose two, of retroactive positional truth, so that we should no longer be slaves to the sin nature. For the one who has died, retroactive positional truth, has been freed from the power of the sin nature. Now verse 8, the implications of current positional truth. Now if we have died with Christ, first class condition, and we have through the baptism of the Spirit and retroactive positional truth, we believe that we shall also live with him, current positional truth, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that brought us to verse 9, and we are partway through the exegesis of Romans 6, verse 9. So far we have knowing that Christ, because he received resurrection out from the dead, he can never die again. The Lord Jesus Christ is the first fruits of resurrection. This is a battalion pass in review. The Lord Jesus Christ is Alpha Company. He's the first fruits of resurrection. We make up Bravo Company. We're next when it comes to a resurrection, and that will occur at the rapture, the end of the church age. So he, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the first fruits of resurrection. He is the first member of true humanity that has been resurrected, and now his human spirit and his soul live inside his resurrection body. The resurrection body means you can never die again. Ukati apothenesco. Knowing that Christ, because he received resurrection out from the dead, he can never die again. And then we go on with verse 9. Death hath no more dominion over him. You see, the people that translated the King James, many of them had a lisp. And there were a lot of hatheth and liveth and things like that. So they had a lot of speech problems with the King James translation. Death hath no more dominion over him. Now, we're going to have death in, we have it in our verse, verse 9. We're going to have death in verse 10. Heads up. In verse 9, we have physical death. And then when we get to verse 10, we have the spiritual death of Christ on the cross. But here we have physical death. This is the nominative singular of thanatos, plus the adverb ukati with the present active indicative of kuriawo, plus the genitive singular of autos. So first of all, in verse 9, we have thanatos. Looks like that in the Greek, thanatos. Thanatos. And thanatos is literally translated death. And here, in verse 9, it refers to physical death. And thanatos, physical death, is personified. It's personified in our verse. In other words, it is thought of as a person. A person that has ukati kuriawo, no longer has any control over the one living in a resurrection body. Physical death no longer has any control over anyone living in his resurrection body. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is in his resurrection body. Physical death has no more control over him. We will have our resurrection body at the rapture. Physical death will absolutely no longer have any control over any of us in our resurrection body. The resurrection body is phenomenal. And we've gone through that and covered that in over and over and over again. I've always thought about the rapture. And when I was competing, I'm not competing anymore, just trying to get up and get down the over here and up here and just walking. Every one of you in here walk better than I do. And that sucks. But anyway, congratulations that you walk better than I do. Well, when I was competing in track and field, and I was long jumping, I always thought, and I even sent up a prayer. God didn't answer it, but I said, wouldn't it be cool, Father, if the rapture happened when I took off from the board and was up in the air, and the rapture occurred and I was gone? That would break the world record. And not only that, they wouldn't know where to mark it. Well, where'd he go? But it, obviously, God says, no, that won't happen. So here we have thanatos personified. A person that has ukati kuriawo, that's physical death, has no longer any control over the one living in a resurrection body. Now, once again, the second time in this verse, we have the adverb ukati. Looks like that. O-U-K-E-T-I, ukati. And ukati means no more. No longer, never again. And then we have the verb kuriawo. That's K-U-R-I-E-U long O. Kuriawo. Now, it is from this verb that we get a word that you all are familiar with, kurios. K-U-R-I-O-S, and that is the word translated Lord. That comes from the verb kurioō. And you know this very well because we have kurios, Jesus, Christos. That's Lord, Jesus, Christ. So you're familiar with kurios, and therefore in a way you should be familiar with kurioō. So a few points on this. One, kurioō means to be Lord or Master. It means to be Lord or Master. Two, it means to rule. Three, it means to control. To be Lord or Master, to rule, to control. That's kurioō. Point two, physical death has no power, no claim whatsoever over Jesus Christ, our Lord. Physical death has no power, no claim whatsoever over Jesus Christ, our Lord. The genitive singular of autos is over him, over the Lord Jesus Christ. Three, if physical death no longer has any control over the resurrected Christ living in a resurrection body, if physical death no longer has any control over the resurrected Christ living in a resurrection body, then positionally, neither does the sin nature have any more rulership over the believer who is identified with Jesus Christ through current positional truth. Then positionally, neither does the sin nature have any more rulership over the believer who is identified with Jesus Christ through current positional truth. Four, Christ's resurrection was a removal from the sphere of physical death forever in a resurrection body. Christ's resurrection was a removal from the sphere of physical death forever in a resurrection body. And that will be the status of each one of us when we receive our resurrection body at the rapture of the royal family. Five, having experienced physical death once and having been removed from its realm by resurrection life, Jesus can never suffer physical death again. Having experienced physical death once and having been removed from its realm by resurrection life, Jesus can never suffer physical death again. Six, in resurrection, the Lord Jesus Christ won the victory over physical death. He won the victory over physical death, and as a result of your faith in Jesus Christ and the baptism of the Spirit, identify with Christ in his resurrection, in union with him, you also will have won the victory over physical death. Turn over to Acts chapter 2, verse 24. Acts 2:24. Acts 2, verse 24. And God raised him up again. This is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There were two members of the Trinity that performed this resurrection of Christ. God the Father, the omnipotence of the Father, sent the Spirit from heaven back into his resurrection body. God the Holy Spirit sent his soul from Hades into his resurrection body. So the combination of the omnipotence of the Father and the omnipotence of God the Holy Spirit were involved in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, physical death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power, in the power of physical death. It was impossible for him to be held in the power of physical death. Acts 2:24. Point 7. Therefore, physical death can never again kurioō autou, rule over him. Therefore, physical death can never again kurioō autou, rule over him. So again, the corrected translation of verse 9, knowing that Christ, because he received resurrection out from the dead, he can never die again. Physical death no longer has any rulership or control over him. Now, that's physical death. Now we go in Jesus Christ. Now we go to spiritual death in the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 10, for in that he died, this is the conjunction gar with the neuter singular of the relative pronoun host plus the aorist active indicative of apothenesco. The postpositive conjunction gar. G-A-R. Gar is an explanatory gar, and you correctly translate it for. And then we have the accusative neuter, very important, accusative neuter, singular, of the relative pronoun hos. And Arntgen Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, on page 588 tells us that when the relative pronoun hos is in the neuter, as it is here in our verse, and you see, here is the relative pronoun hos, H-O-S, but it doesn't look like that in the neuter. In the neuter, it looks like this, ha. So Arntgen Gingrich, page 588, tells us that the neuter of the relative pronoun hos is to be understood as an objective accusative, and it has a very special meaning. And it gains its content from what immediately follows. And therefore, it should be correctly translated with regard to the fact that. That's how it should be translated. With regard to the fact that. And then apothenesco. A-P-O-T-H-N long E-S-K long O. Apothenesco. Apothenesco is the verb that means to die. Sometimes it's used for physical death. Sometimes it's used for spiritual death. Here it refers to the spiritual death of our Lord on the cross. It refers to those 3 hours from 12 noon to 3 p.m. That's when God the Father brought a supernatural darkness over the land, right in the middle of the day, right when it should have been the brightest time. God the Father brought a supernatural darkness over the land. Why? Because now he was gathering up the sins of the whole world, imputing them to Jesus Christ on the cross, and judging them in Jesus Christ. 3 hours of darkness, 3 hours of judgment from God the Father to our sin in Jesus Christ on the cross. God the Father imputed the sins of the entire world to Christ, and then he judged them in him. The aorist tense is a constative aorist, viewing those 3 hours of spiritual death and atonement for the sins of the world in its entirety. The active voice, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Redeemer, and only Savior, performed the action of this spiritual death. The indicative mood is declarative, viewing the spiritual death of our Lord Jesus Christ from the viewpoint of absolute certainty and reality. So it says, in corrected translation, For with regard to the fact that he died spiritual death on the cross, for with regard to the fact that he died his spiritual death on the cross, he died unto sin once. This is the aorist active indicative again, apothenesco repeated, plus the dative singular of hamartia with the definite article, plus the adverb f. Apox. The verb apothenesco once again is repeated, once again referring to the spiritual death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. And again, this is the judicial imputation of all personal sins in human history to Christ on the cross, and then their judgment. And then we have hamartia, which is the word sin. The dative case is the dative of reference or respect, and is correctly translated with respect to sin, with reference to sin. And then we have with that the adverb f apox. That's E-P-H-A-P-A-K-S. F apox. And Epox means, correctly translated, once for all. Once for all. So the correct translation, verse 10, for with regard to the fact that he died, his spiritual death on the cross, he died once for all with reference to sin. He died once for all with reference to sin. And then we have, but in that he liveth. And this is the accusative neuter singular of the relative pronoun host, plus the postpositive conjunction de, plus the present active indicative of zao. The postpositive conjunction de is used here as a conjunction of contrast. Conjunction of contrast, and therefore it's correctly translated, but death sets up a contrast between the spiritual death of Christ on the cross with the resurrection life of Christ in hypostatic union. So we have a contrast between the spiritual death of Christ on the cross, his salvation work on the cross, with the resurrection life of Jesus Christ in hypostatic union. The accusative neuter, accusative neuter singular of the relative pronoun host is once again repeated and correctly translated with regard to the fact that. With regard to the fact that. But with regard to the resurrection life that he lives, and that is the verb zao. The A long O, Zao. Now, Zao literally means to live. It's often used of physical life in contrast to death. However, in our verse, it is used for the resurrection life of the Lord Jesus Christ in hypostatic union. In our verse, it's used for the resurrection life of the Lord Jesus Christ in hypostatic union. So this says in corrected translation, but with regard to the resurrection life that he lives, he liveth unto God. Once again, we have the present active indicative of Zao plus the dative singular of Theos with the definite article. Again, Zao is repeated. He lives, refers to resurrection life. And who does the Lord Jesus Christ live to in his resurrection body? To Theos. And that is God, specifically God the Father. And once again, the dative case is the dative of reference and respect. He lived with reference to the God, God the Father. So verse 10 sounds like this. For with regard to the fact that he died, his spiritual death, salvation work on the cross, he died once for all with reference to sin. But with regard to the resurrection life that he lived with reference to the God, God the Father. All right. One, the spiritual death that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross was a once for all encounter with the personal sins of the whole world. He drank the cup of the world's sins. All the world's sins were imputed to Christ in that 3 hours of darkness by God the Father, 12 noon to 3 p.m. And then he was judged for them. The spiritual death that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross was a once for all encounter with the personal sins of the whole world. Two, the personal sins of all mankind were paid for in full, once and for all. The personal sins of all mankind were paid for in full, once and for all. Three. Now that this sacrificial work has been accomplished, and he has been resurrected, risen from the dead. Now that his sacrificial work has been accomplished, his salvation work on the cross, and he has been resurrected from the dead, now he lives this resurrection life to God the Father. Who was the one who designed Operation Grace, the cross? The Father. Who is the one who willingly said yes, sir, to the Father, that he would carry out that incarnation plan? The Father's the one who designed the incarnation plan, Operation Grace, the cross. And the Lord Jesus Christ, in perfect humility, genuine humility, obedience, in perfect obedience. And the Son is co-equal and co-eternal with the Father and the Spirit. But in His genuine humility, in perfect obedience, He said, "Yes, sir, Father, I will carry out your incarnation plan, Operation Grace." And through unlimited atonement, the sins of the whole world were paid for by Christ, so that anyone, any place, anywhere, through simple faith in Jesus Christ, can have the gift of eternal life. But what is he obedient to? To the Father. To the Father's salvation plan, Operation Grace. To the incarnation plan of the Father. So, point three, now that the sacrificial work, the salvation work of Christ on the cross has been accomplished, and he has been resurrected from the dead, he lives this resurrection life to God the Father. Four. Point four. From now on, in his resurrection life, that life that he lives is fully oriented to God's infinite and perfect plan. From now on, in his resurrection life, that life that he lives is fully oriented to God's infinite and perfect plan. And that infinite and perfect plan, it calls for the Lord Jesus, right now in the church age, the calling out of the royal family of God, the body of Christ. Right now the body of Christ is being formed. The royal calling out of the royal family of God. And when that's completed, we have our resurrection. And when we have our resurrection, why, we are the bride of Christ in heaven. We're the body of Christ on earth, but following our resurrection, we are the bride of Christ in heaven. And we will be prepared at the judgment seat of Christ. We will come before the judgment seat of Christ, not to determine whether you're going to be saved or not. You're saved forever. But to determine whether you're going to have greater grace blessings for all eternity that glorify God forever and ever, or whether you lose out on those. Because we're not all equal in our resurrection body and for all eternity. There are winner believers and there are loser believers and there's everything in between. It depends on what you do with your life and the decisions you make right now. I hit that pulpit last time and we almost had several people go into cardiac arrest. What are you doing with your volition right now? You're not here very long. None of us are here very long. Now, when I was a youngster, I thought I'd be here forever. I'm not a youngster anymore. And I realized I'm going to turn around one day and I'm going to be in heaven. Now, every Saturday morning, I let Deb sleep in. And I work, work, work. I get up and get out and I do the hard stuff, like push the button on the coffee pot. Coffee rate. Turn the lights on. Get everything ready so we can play Wordle when she gets up. I do all these things, and then I do that a couple hours before. I let her sleep in. And she sleeps in, and I was up this Saturday. I was up at 5:30. When I got everything done, I sat down. It was 6:30. I'm sitting there at 6:30. 7:30, I go, that's all right. She usually sleeps past 7. 8:30, okay, she'll be coming out any second now. 8:30. 8:45. 8:50. 8:55. 9 o'clock. I better go check on her. Opened the door and went in there. She's in the bed, just laying there, and I'm looking to see if she's breathing. If she was breathing, she was, because if she wasn't breathing, I was going to drive out and jump off the Hoover Dam, you know, because she does everything. I can't imagine what it would be like. I don't want to imagine what it would be like. But anyway, she was breathing. I was there looking to see if she's breathing, and all of a sudden she turns over and she looks at me. What? I want to make sure you're alive, honey. So I went back out and sat down. We live, we have also a spiritual life, and we are to live that spiritual life to the Father. Jesus Christ, who is co-equal and co-eternal with the Father, in hypostatic union, he's living his life, resurrection life, to the Father. And that includes coming back at the second advent. That includes ruling planet Earth in the millennial kingdom. Ruling planet Earth in the millennium with perfect blessing and perfect righteousness and perfect justice. For 1,000 years, that's a part of the Father's plan for the Son. And then the new heavens and the new earth, Jesus Christ in resurrection life and his hypostatic union is living his life to the infinite and perfect plan of the Father. So that's point four. From now on, in his resurrection life, that life that he lives is fully oriented to God the Father's infinite and perfect plan. That life that he lives is fully oriented to God's infinite and perfect plan. Now, this is very cool. But we've already gone past the stopping point. When you come back, we have point five. And point six, point seven, point eight, point nine, point ten, point 11, point 12. So I hope you can count that high. We'll take a break and come back in a few for part two.